This Israel report is brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you are based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.
The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Good morning, Anthony. Let's do this.
Boker Tov, Chanukah Sameach, and I'd like to start with a happy Chanukah story if I can. Of course, most Jewish festivals, as everybody knows, involve people trying to kill us. We survived. Let's eat. And in the case of Chanukah, let's also light candles. And that story has been really epitomized at the Aleh Center in Bnei Brak, which is a complex for children with disabilities. It has a place for children to stay. It has a place for children to be treated. It has a kindergarten. It has a shul, a synagogue. And this center was hit directly by an Iranian missile during the 12-day war. And quite a bit of the building, quite a lot of the building, was damaged in the process. Fortunately, there were no casualties in that hit, but unfortunately, the facilities were partially destroyed. Now, 6 months later, the damaged part of the building has been restored, and the children are back being treated and staying there and using all the facilities that are there. But more than that, one of the missiles that hit the building was actually retained, and the parts of the missile were given to an Israeli artist, Guy Cohen, and he transformed that Iranian missile into a Chanukiah. And that Chanukiah was lit at the reopening of the center after the restoration program was completed. And so I think that that is really a great example of survival and then using parts of the missile that was intended to damage, to destroy, to hurt, to kill, using that missile in order to try and spread a little bit of light. I think it's a great Chanukah story.
Couldn't agree with you more. Great example of being given lemons and turning it into lemonade, and really story of the Jewish people, if you think about it. So good. It's what we needed to hear. Great start to the morning. I'm sure the rest of the news in Israel isn't going to be as good.
So what I wanted to talk about this morning in particular is this conference that took place in Qatar yesterday for countries that want to be involved in the so-called peacekeeping force that is being put together for Gaza by the U.S. administration. And what we understand is that more than 30 countries were invited to Qatar to meet with members of the U.S. administration. There was, however, one notable absence, and the notable absence was Turkey. Now, exactly how that's being treated is unclear to me, because we know that Turkey has been very much involved in trying to be the center of anything that's happening in terms of a Middle East arrangement, in particular with regard to the situation in Gaza. We know that Turkey has actually even housed members of Hamas during the period of the war. Turkey has been extremely outspoken against Israel and against Israel's activities in Gaza. The issue is that Turkey is also a member of NATO, and Turkey is a key ally of the US. And so the US administration has been forced, in spite of Turkey's very negative stance against Israel and against what Israel has been up to in Gaza, the US administration has been forced in some way to try to take note of Turkey's desire to be at the center of any Gaza solution, any Middle East solution that is put together. And Turkey has really been pushing very hard. The Turkish President Erdogan has made it quite clear that, you know, Turkey feels that it is going to play, that it needs to play a very central role. But as I've said, unfortunately, Turkey, a little like Qatar, to be fair, is tainted by its close association with Hamas. And now with that meeting of 32 countries that took place yesterday, we understand that it wasn't a very, very high-level meeting. The report suggests that there were mid-level officials from those countries, but quite a large group from so many countries getting together, people who feel that they wish to or ought to be somehow involved in the U.S. plan for a Gaza peacekeeping force. But Turkey apparently wasn't there. Not to say that Turkey will not ultimately be involved, but at least for now, the U.S. is really understanding quite well that, you know, to invite Turkey along would be very, very controversial. It was also interesting that the U.S. Special Envoy for Syria and the ambassador to Turkey, Tom Barrack, has said that he thinks that Turkey does need to be involved in all of this. I think that that's going to be a very, very difficult situation, and certainly Israel would not be supportive of Turkey getting involved at all. So that is really the news that comes on the diplomatic front. The other piece that I found very interesting was the fact that the Israeli intelligence community has revealed that they have found diagrams of Israeli prisons in the possession of October the 7th terrorists who have been kept in Israeli jails since the time that they've been arrested. Some of them were arrested very soon after the events of October the 7th. Some have been arrested subsequent to that. But the point is that they've been kept in Israeli prisons, and obviously they've been interrogated. And during the course of this interrogation, the security establishment have found these very, very detailed diagrams, which go into such detail, such as, for example, marking locations where there might be one security guard on duty instead of two security guards on duty, marking locations where there is a certain type of lock that locks the door in a certain way rather than something else. So these are clearly diagrams that have been put together with painstaking detail over an extended period of time. And it also reveals a major leak from within Israeli prisons. I mean, when I say a leak, I mean, many, of course, of the prisoners were released legitimately through one. When I say legitimately, I mean they didn't escape or they didn't send information out in an illegal way, but many of the prisoners were released with the agreements that we struck with Hamas in order to return our hostages. And I'm guessing that many of those prisoners then sat down with members of Hamas and went through and downloaded all the details that they have about the Israeli prison service, how the prisons are run, who the guards are, where they're located, where potential areas of weakness might be. And all of this really points to a plan to somehow attack the prisons in Israel, maybe not necessarily as part of the October the 7th attack, but certainly that level of detail and that level of information clearly presents a slightly worrying aspect to the Israeli security services and to the intelligence. And the head of the Israeli prison is quoted as saying that the situation in the Israeli prisons is on a knife edge, that things are not particularly calm within the Israeli prisons right now, particularly with the number of terrorists who are currently being held there, and that they feel that there might be a moment when there is some sort of an attempt to kick off a large-scale event within the Israeli prison service. In fact, he's used the word on the brink. He feels that Israel is on the brink of a potential large-scale event within its prisons. And of course, with this level of detail being available, that is clearly a concern, and it shows to what extent Hamas is willing to go in order to gain intelligence, to collect information. We certainly saw that in the attacks that were carried out on October 7th on the kibbutzim in the Gaza envelope area. The detail that Hamas had, the plans, the maps, the detail about who were members of the task force, the security task force on the kibbutzim, the detail about where weapons were stored within individuals' homes or within the center where the security guards usually keep their weapons, details about where the weapons are stored, which weapons are kept there. There is so much intelligence and so much information that had been downloaded and that had been recorded. And the IDF said that they found maps and they found instructions and they found bits of paper which had so much detail as in the aftermath of the October the 7th massacre. The amount of detail was not only concerning, sure, but actually quite astonishing in the way in which it was put together. So the Israeli prisons are clearly part of this plan, and exactly what this major event involves is not that clear, but it seems to me that the prison service at least is nervous about a kickoff from within the prison rather than potentially an attack from outside. But this is something which has really given a lot of food for thought, and I'm guessing that our intelligence services are reacting accordingly to try somehow to put a lid on this. But I'm really not that sure exactly how they're going to be able to achieve that. So that's really a very, very worrying development for all of us here, about the amount of information that they have.
And then the final issue to discuss today, Anthony, the fact that Israel is ready to strike Hezbollah again.
Yeah, I mean, we all kind of felt that the work against Hezbollah was pretty much not completed, but a significant amount of work had been done that would allow us to potentially be able to tone down the extent of activities on the northern border and potentially even within Lebanon. But the latest information that we're getting is that Iran is so active in rearming and refinancing and rehabilitating Hezbollah in Lebanon that Israel inevitably will be required to attack Hezbollah in the relatively near future. And interestingly, the latest information that we're getting from within southern Lebanon shows that Hezbollah are now kind of targeting Nahariya as the next a kind of moment, the next October the 7th style attack, that Nahariya will be the target of that attack. And of course, Nahariya is a town on Israel's northern border, not too far from the border with Lebanon, and is certainly within reach of Hezbollah if they are able to breach that northern border and get through in the way that Hamas were able to breach the Gaza border on October the 7th. So Israel, of course, is not standing back and waiting for this to happen. Israel has constantly been in action even since the so-called ceasefire was declared with Lebanon. But Israel continues to be in action, targeting individuals within the network to try to somehow reduce the amount of preparation that is going on in southern Lebanon. But we understand that there is such a lot of activity and so much influence and so much push from Iran that a war with Hezbollah is unfortunately inevitable. And I'm guessing that these newspaper reports are really trying to prepare the Israeli public for what seems likely to be another war on the northern border in the not too distant future. I hope that it won't be too late in coming, because obviously the longer it takes to exercise this, the more preparation Hezbollah are able to make. But of course, we will be watching that carefully.
Anthony Rach, as always, thank you so much for your very interesting input this morning. It is 8 o'clock. It is time for news.
That Israel Report was brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you are based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.